Hello, and welcome back to The Social Disease. I'm Jasper.
And I'm Bridget.
And today, after, I think it's been a month, hiatus, we are starting season 14.
Woo! Okay, to be fair, it is summer vacation for me, so need a little time. We did do a live stream, and it's up on our YouTube channel if you want to go take a watch. We met with one of our fans who stayed up till literally 2 a.m. to do it with us. And we just talked about like who did it better plots. And it was a really fun time. So check it out if you want to watch that.
Yes, it was very cute. Thanks to Leah. Shout out to her.
And now we're finally moving into season 14, which is pretty funny because I honestly like enjoyed it. And it seems that a lot of people do not enjoy it.
Name one thing you enjoy about it.
Okay. I don't know. It made me hate Zoe so much, and I love to hate someone. So maybe that's why.
Okay.
And like, I liked Maya and Zig getting together. And I will say the whole like Claire fucking up the dad thing was like so bad. Like it was so bad, but also so not possible anyway. So it doesn't really matter. But overall, I don't know. I didn't mind it. I think I disliked season 13 way more than this one.
Really?
Like, the only thing about season 13, I think we went through it, that I liked was, like, Drew and Claire. And then every time I was like, oh, and, like, this plot and this plot, you're like, so, like, literally nothing from, like, the beginning of season 13. And I was like, oh, yeah, I guess not. So well, this one I kind of like a little bit better.
Well, for me, it's like season 13 eventually found its footing, like, midway through, and it was pretty decent for the second half. But season 14, it's like the big plots, like Degrassi nudes, Claire's pregnancy, things like that are just like so terrible and poorly written that I'm just like, I'm sick of this. I don't want to watch it anymore.
Yeah, you can definitely sense like a different type of writing than I feel like season 11 and 12. Like 13 and 14 definitely were written by the same person, and it's a little odd.
So what we're doing today are Maya, Zig, Miles, and Tristan. Since they all kind of interact with each other somewhat, at least Maya and Miles, and then Zig and Tristan are their plus ones. Honestly, this might be the only episode of season 14 that we do that I will have good things to say about. And then after this, our next episode, we're planning to do the rest of that class. So Zoe, Frankie, Winston, and Hunter, which is going to be the whole Degrassi nudes nonsense. And then before we get to the seniors, we're actually going to do the movie Don't Look Back, because the movie only focuses on the sophomores. And so for Degrassi Goes Hollywood and Degrassi Takes Manhattan, we made the season finale like the fun movie, but Don't Look Back isn't as fun, I think. Definitely not as fun as Degrassi Goes Hollywood. Maybe it's on about the same level as Degrassi Takes Manhattan, but we wanted to do our grand finale with finally saying goodbye to Claire and Squad, because they've been on the show for way too long. So we got to give them a proper farewell by making them the grand finale to season 14. So that's the plan. Things might change. Probably not. We'll see. But we're going to get started with Miles and Tristan. So if you recall from the end of season 13, Miles and Tristan made out during the thunderstorm. They haven't made things official, but they have decided to like see where things are going. So they end up making out in secret, but Tristan is worried that Miles is only making out with him to kind of get back at Maya or to get back at his dad. But before Miles can respond to that, he realizes that he's late to a photo session for his dad's campaign. And when his dad gets mad at him for being late, Miles says that he was making out with his boyfriend. The next day, they're at family breakfast. His dad is saying that Miles liking boys is ridiculous and that Miles is just trying to screw up the last few weeks of his campaign. This, of course, pisses Miles off. So he ends up talking to a reporter about his dad being a homophobe. This makes the news, of course. And to kind of do some damage control, Miles's dad ends up taking Miles out of school for the day to take him out golfing, saying that like, oh, I'm sorry about all the homophobic things I said, like, I still love you no matter what. But of course, when Miles kind of accepts his apology and they're hugging, the press show up. And Miles realizes that his dad was just using him to kind of do damage control for the whole homophobia thing. And so he ends up fighting with his dad over this when they get home. And Miles ends up getting pushed against the wall by his dad while they're fighting. Kind of while this is happening at school, Tristan ends up getting really mad at Miles for outing their relationship because they had kind of agreed to keep things a secret. And Tristan is like just kind of pissed at him for using him to make his dad mad. So Miles kind of gets upset that he's kind of getting accused of being a bad person. I think Tristan says that like, oh, you're acting just like your dad. And this kind of gives Miles a bit of a panic attack. Maya is also a bit concerned about what's going on because Maya, having dated Miles for all of season 13, kind of is in tune to all of the Miles and his dad conflict. And so Maya kind of encourages Miles to go to talk to somebody about his dad. Miles tries to tell his mom, but his mom is just kind of blowing him off, saying that like, you're the person who's been pissing your dad off, blah, blah, blah. His dad ends up apologizing for the wall thing by getting him a car. Because Miles has like a fancy new car, Tristan forgives him for some reason. So Miles and Tristan kind of officially get together at this point, but Maya kind of knows that there is something deeper going on. From there, Winston, Miles' best friend, starts to feel that Tristan is stealing Miles away from him as Miles' best friend. He ends up getting annoyed when Tristan shows up while he's hanging out with Miles, and he gets angry when Tristan like wants to play Dance Dance Revolution instead of whatever straight boy game that Winston and Miles were playing. I don't know.
Nice.
And so he and Miles end up talking things through. Winston acknowledges that Miles being into guys now is a bit weird for him to adjust to, especially since he was so into Maya like just a couple weeks ago, but they end up making up and Miles says that he will give Winston the attention he needs. From there, Winston is talking to Tristan in class about how Winston is concerned that like Miles has been behaving differently lately, like he's missing a ton of class, blah, blah, blah. And when Tristan talks to Miles about this, Miles says that there is no problem. But Miles and Tristan, they have like a school presentation to do for history class. Miles ditches Tristan to sit in his pool and smoke weed. And this convinces Tristan that Miles is addicted to weed. And so he enlists Winston and Frankie, and I think Hunter too, to hold an intervention to help him with his weed addiction. And so Tristan ends up kind of luring Miles into like meeting up for lunch. Miles is apologizing for the whole school presentation thing. But of course they start having the intervention. Miles gets pissed and tells everyone off, including Tristan, saying that like, Tristan, you're such a loser for continuously letting me treat you like trash. Miles ends up leaving school for the day and he ends up accidentally hitting Maya on her bike with his car. And Maya was on her way to her therapy appointment. So Miles ends up driving her to the therapy appointment. He ends up getting high while he's waiting for her to get out. And when they're driving back, he ends up like being super dazed. He's very high and he ends up hitting a car door and knocking it off. And they do a hit and run and run off. He says that he doesn't want to get caught because he'll get caught with a DUI since he's high. And that will completely ruin his dad's election. And his dad will not be very happy with him for that. Maya ends up kind of coming up with a lie to kind of protect Miles from his dad's wrath. And Miles goes along with it. They end up lying to the police. They find out that it was actually Dallas's car. And when Miles gets high again, he ends up telling Dallas that he hit his car. So they end up having to tell the police the truth. And his dad kind of covers up the whole situation. Bit of time passes. Tristan then comes back into the picture and he tries to apologize to Miles about the intervention. He's like, you know, saying that you were addicted to weed was kind of silly. I'm sorry. Tristan sets up a sushi date for them, but Miles isn't really interested in Tristan anymore. Tristan ends up realizing that Miles is still into Maya, or at least into Maya again after the whole, you know, hit and run situation. And Tristan ends up having this super dramatic scene telling Miles off for like being a manipulator of people and that he can't wait to see the day where Miles has nobody to love him. So this kind of hits Miles a bit hard, but he kind of continues on with his life because who needs Tristan in their life anyway?
Oh my God.
Then like non-Miles related things like the Degrassi nude stuff kind of comes to a head and Frankie is getting involved with that. And it kind of gets out in the news that like Frankie was like the ringleader for Degrassi nudes because Zoe kind of made a fake Facebook page about it. So Miles tells off his dad for trying to get Frankie to take the blame for Degrassi nudes, just so that it could kind of go away because it's right before the election. And while Miles is fighting with his dad about this, about how he uses all of his kids as props, essentially, they get into a really big fight. Miles' dad ends up throwing a coffee mug at the wall that ends up hitting Hunter, and he ends up slapping Miles. Miles, of course, tries to like talk to his mom about this, about how his dad is abusing all of their children, but Miles' mom low-key blames Miles for it and doesn't believe him that it actually happened. So Miles makes a plan to run away from home. He's like collecting his stuff at the school or something like that, but he runs into Maya. And like while he's talking to Maya, he's like super mad at his dad. He ends up setting a picture of his dad on fire, and it ends up setting the whole school on fire. Lots of stupid things end up happening. Frankie like almost dies, but he ends up finding Frankie and Hunter outside. And Frankie is very hurt when their dad only cares that they'll be okay for the campaign rather than that Frankie is safe. So this kind of convinces Hunter to take the side of Miles and Frankie against their dad. Hunter was kind of flip-flopping before this point, and they tell him to like go away. We're not going to go home unless we go home with mom. And Miles ends up thanking Maya for like looking out for him. And that's like the first half of the season. Miles and Tristan actually have a much smaller role in the second half of the season. And so just the few small plots in the second half are that Maya ends up getting paired with Tristan for salsa dancing. But Tristan, of course, is still holding a massive grudge against Maya for the whole Mr. Yates thing. And also the fact that Miles isn't into Tristan anymore because he was still into Maya. Maya ends up like talking to Tristan and being like, just tell me how much you hate me, blah, blah, blah. So Tristan tells Maya that she's a terrible person for no reason, and they end up making up as friends. Now I have thoughts about that. But from there, I think the second to last thing is that Tristan ends up deciding to go on some dating apps to get over Miles. It's very funny. It's called Tinder. But in order to attract guys, he ends up lying on his profile that he's a buff guy, super into working out and hiking. So he ends up matching with a nice athletic guy, but he ends up not being able to kind of handle the long hike that they planned for their first date. So Tristan ends up confessing that he lied about liking outdoorsy things. And the guy he went on a date with ends up being super nice about it. He says that online dating makes you put yourself into a box, and they end up bonding over cooking shows. Finally, Hunter and Miles are kind of at odds since their dad has been kind of kicked out of their house, and like their parents are going through a divorce, and Hunter kind of blames Miles for this whole situation since Hunter was kind of close with their dad. So in order to kind of help Hunter out, Miles ends up trying to hook him up with the cute girl that Hunter has a crush on, Arlene. He's like teasing Hunter at like an end of school pool party that they're having, and Hunter ends up falling in the pool, which gets Hunter even more mad at him. So Hunter ends up telling Miles off about how like you're worse than dad, and Miles apologizes and says that he'll try to be a better brother.
Whew, okay. I will say the Tinder plot, or the Tinder or whatever it is, that was probably like the most realistic plot that like Degrassi has ever done. I felt that hiking thing, man. I was like, oh boy. Yeah.
Wait, have you ever gone on a hike date?
Not as like a first date, but like I really am like, I'm, you know, trying to do new things. And then like I have gone hiking when I shouldn't have because I'm so unfit that it's just embarrassing.
Oh.
So I was like, yeah, good. That was a pretty funny example, to be honest. Because there's so many people out there that are like, I love to hike. And I'm like, yeah, no, not happening. Sorry.
Yeah, when I say I would go on a hike, I'm like, let's just go for a walk around the neighborhood.
Yeah, that's about it for me too. But okay, let's start with, I guess, like pretty much them starting the season with Tristan and Miles now dating. And while I think it possibly could have worked if Miles wasn't also dealing with all that family shit, Tristan just kind of sucks as a boyfriend. He's like not a good boyfriend.
I was actually kind of excited for them at the end of season 13. Like I thought they had a very strong start for that.
Yes. Yeah.
But it went south very, very quickly. Like there's really not much to like about them in this season at all.
No, and I feel like part of Tristan's insecurity about Miles just dating him to get back at his dad is pretty fair. like the way that Miles advertises him dating Tristan, it seems like he's doing it to get a reaction. That's wrong. Like, obviously you shouldn't be doing that, you know? Like, I think in the beginning he's like, yeah, like, I don't know what I am. Like, I like to kiss boys and girls. Like, who knows, you know? But then it just, like, it was, like, obvious he was using Tristan for a show at a point.
So how I feel about it is that Miles was using the fact that he was dating a boy to piss his dad off, but he wasn't purposefully trying to hurt Tristan by doing that, is kind of how I see it. It's like he wasn't thinking of Tristan's feelings, which is bad, but he wasn't like purposefully trying to hurt Tristan's feelings.
I guess the other thing that I think about is like I compare him and Maya's relationship to him and Tristan's relationship, because like even though he's dating a different gender, you would probably either act the same or better in a relationship anyway, because like what would be the difference? And with Maya, like he made so much effort to make things like okay with Maya when he would screw up. Like obviously sending gifts doesn't work, but you know, he went to her house after the party. Like he almost cheated on her, but he didn't, you know, he went there and like was trying to make things better. Where like for Tristan, he didn't give a shit about Tristan, like at all. There was not a single point where I'm like, wow, Miles likes this guy. I genuinely was just like, he is just killing time right now in between his rebound of Maya and like his next relationship. It just never felt genuine.
So I think he genuinely liked Tristan. Like when they have like the few moments where they're not fighting each other, I thought that Miles genuinely liked him. Like the whole Winston plot, I thought that was like a good show of how Miles and Tristan would function without all the stupid drama that's happening around them. But yeah, I guess you do have a point that like Miles didn't really do much to kind of make it up to Tristan. Like he did apologize a few times, but I think the other thing is that Maya wouldn't accept Miles's poor treatment of her, but Tristan does. Like in the first episode, or maybe it was the second one of the season, like Tristan is mad at Miles for like outing their relationship in the news or whatever, right? Yeah. But then Tristan immediately forgives him because Miles has a car, you know?
Yes, there's that. And then there's also the fact that like, I don't remember exactly what the reason was that Tristan had their like weird sushi date. Like, I feel like he thought he did something wrong at some point and then like planned a sushi date. And then like, he's like, Miles barely spoke on the date. Like all he did was eat, and then he left. And I was like, okay, you should be mad about that. Like you put a lot of effort into something and like he said things were fine and things were obviously not fine because he was quiet the whole time. And like, I just feel like Tristan spends a lot of time rationalizing why he's treated so poorly versus like, you're right, like Maya didn't put up with it.
Yeah. And I do feel for Tristan at least a little bit, as much as I hate him. Like I do feel for him that like he feels like he has to kind of put up with the poor treatment just because this is his first boyfriend and like the first guy that's actually liked him who's not a predator. So like I do feel bad, but at the same time, Tristan is also kind of enabling Miles's bad behavior. It's like not even in their relationship, but just even with his dad, right? Yeah. It's like when Winston is expressing concern that like something's going on with Miles, Tristan just accepts it at face value when Miles says that everything is fine. It's like he's not really paying attention to what is actually going on in Miles's life to actually kind of see that Miles isn't in a good place right now.
Yeah.
They're definitely very bad for each other. And I do feel bad for Tristan, but like, I don't feel that bad for him.
It's hard because it's like, he looks at Miles and sees Miles probably similarly to like how he saw him when he first met him when they were going to Europe. You know, he saw him as this like rich, attractive guy. And like, yeah, it's easy to be in a relationship when like both people don't have issues going on, but like Miles has a lot of issues. And I think Tristan saw it with Maya, but obviously like ignored it when he was with Miles. I don't get it. Like, I think he just wanted a boyfriend.
I've seen some people say that Tristan should have been the person who was helping Miles through his dad stuff rather than Maya. And like, I do see the point because like, yes, it would have been nice to see them like work through things as a couple. But given how Tristan was just ignoring all of the red flags, made it so that Tristan would have been a bad person to help Miles through all those things.
Tristan would have been an awful person to work. Like, he literally was like, oh, your dad got you a car. I guess he loves you now.
Right.
Like, he had no idea what was going on with Miles and his dad, like, at all.
Yeah. But then Maya, on the other hand, kind of knows a little bit about his dad's relationship from when she was dating him.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of makes sense that Maya would be kind of more in tune, if that's the right phrase, or like,
yeah,
she would know what to look for with Miles not being in a good place. Maya was definitely the better person to like kind of be worried about Miles. And we'll talk about that a bit more from Maya's end, of course. But yeah, Miles and Tristan are just like not good for each other.
No, I think the relationship is very surface level and that's it. Miles put in no effort for the relationship to be a relationship. And Tristan was like, this is a relationship. Like, it wasn't. It really wasn't. Like, they didn't do anything that made it seem like they were in a relationship throughout the season.
Yeah, exactly. How did you feel about the Winston plot where, like, Winston is kind of weirded out about Miles dating a guy?
I can kind of see it from his perspective in the sense that, like, Miles had never said anything to Winston about, you know, possibly either being bisexual or being gay or like even being interested in like men at all. So I think, you know, from me being straight, if you had like never said anything to me and then all of a sudden were like, I'm dating a guy and I had like no idea that you were like, I'd be a little insulted. I'd be like, did you not feel comfortable enough to tell me? Like, did you feel like I, you know, wouldn't be able to handle it? Like, I think there's that piece of it, even though Winston's plot kind of doesn't come across like that, but I can kind of see like a jealousy piece and it's like, oh, you felt comfortable enough to like date this guy, but like not even tell me that you're interested in guys. Like, what is the deal with this? And then there's also the aspect of like straight men feeling weird. I feel like sometimes if they have like a gay friend, even if they don't mean to.
Right.
Not like that was pretty much the whole point, is that he like didn't know how to talk to Miles about being like a little jealous.
Right, because Winston kind of framed it that, like, I'm jealous because Tristan is stealing time away from you and me. But I think that was probably the case when Miles was dating Maya.
It seemed a little bit different because, like, Maya and Winston and Frankie all, like, hung out together. And, like, I don't think it was weird because I think Maya and Frankie kind of, like, got along together. Where it's, like, when Tristan, Miles, Winston and Frankie hang out, Tristan has like no interest in being Winston's friend, whereas like Maya like kind of didn't mind trying to like have some rapport with him, because like the only time Tristan like talks to Winston is literally like, what's wrong with Miles, or like meh, you know, like it's never like, oh, what's up with you, like do you want to be my partner, like nothing like that.
Yeah, I could see that. I guess
that's the only reason I think it's different, because like I thought that too, because I think someone even brought up, they're like, why is this any different than like him with Maya? And I feel like he said something along the lines of like, I don't even know. But it's also like, I don't like Tristan. Like, I wouldn't want to be Tristan's friend either. Like, think about it. Like, if you were bringing some guy like Tristan around, I'd be like, I don't want to hang out with him.
Oh my God, so true.
I know it's like not the point, but that's my point.
Yeah, I definitely see that. I think like the main point of the plot that they were trying to get across was like Winston just kind of dealing with some internalized homophobia, which I did like. Like you said, with straight guys, they do get weird about boys kissing for no reason because they're conditioned to do so by society.
Yes.
So it was nice to see Winston kind of unpack that at least a little bit, and to see like a positive bi male, straight male.
Yeah.
Romance.
But I do think that Tristan is so much more annoying to be around. Like, could you imagine if you were like wanted to hang out and then he's like, let's play Just Dance? I'd be like, kill me.
Honestly, I hadn't considered that, but you were so right. Like, I would love to hang out with Maya as like my best friend's girlfriend, but Tristan, no thanks.
That's part of it. Okay, do you want to move into Miles' dad?
Yes.
This is tough.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But at the same time, like, Miles's whole arc with his dad and his family is probably one of the only positive things I could say about this entire season, along with Maya's anxiety plot.
Yes.
Which is why I said this podcast episode will be probably the only podcast that I will have good things to say about season 14.
No, I totally agree, though, because it's like he became physically abusive in this season. Because last season, like, before I remembered that that's what had happened, I was like, honestly, I feel like Miles is kind of egging him on. You know, like, I really do feel like Miles is not making it easy for their relationship to, like, mend or be better. And then this season, everything that was happening was just showing how a teenager would react in the situation. Like, him being, you know, emotionally abused and then physically abused, and then him picking up a weed habit, him not going to school, him being reckless, like, this all ties in together. Like, it was the perfect example of, like, something is going on at home that is not good.
Right. And even before it became physically abusive, like, Miles was still kind of egging him on with, like, the whole I'm dating a boy thing and, like, talking to the press about his dad being a homophobe.
Yeah. I don't know. In that sense, I don't think his dad is a homophobe. I do think in that moment between him and his mom, like, always thinking that Miles is doing the most to, like, be annoying. Same thing as Winston, where everyone's like, we didn't even know you liked guys, and now you like guys. Like, what is even happening? Like, why didn't you say anything earlier? Like, I don't think that his dad's intention was to be, but, like, then immediately it was told to the press that that's what it was, which I felt like, I was like, that's, like, a really big jump. But I don't know, what do you think? Do you think he actually was?
I mean, he's a straight cis white male who's probably the Canadian equivalent of a Republican, so.
Oh, I guess, yeah, that's fair. I just felt like the jump and, like, to put that out in the press was definitely, like, a bad move. Like, that was, like, what even was the point of that? Like, why would you do that?
Right. It was definitely, like, on Miles's end, it was just to get his dad in trouble. But at the same time, his dad wasn't being very open to even the idea. Like, he just kind of assumed that Miles was lying about it, or, like, maybe not lying about it, but doing it to get a rise out of him. His dad didn't even consider that Miles could be, like, actually dating a boy, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
So I definitely feel for Miles in that sense.
Yes.
Like, of course, like, going to the press about it is a lot.
Yeah, I think that's really the hardest part with me, like, following the Miles stuff, because, like, part of it feels like it could be so good, but then I just have that touch of reality where I'm like, I don't know what, like, what job is this guy even running for? Like, he's always running for something. Like, is he ever gonna win? Like, when does the campaign end? Like, I don't understand.
Well, he does become the mayor, like, right after the fire,
which is, like, do people even give a shit about the mayor? Like, to be honest.
Yeah, like, I don't know what high schooler, like, is in tune with their local politics.
Right, like, the fact that Drew is like, oh, I'm working for the mayor, like, let's bring him into the school, like, let's have the press. I'm like, what is even happening? The press even care about the mayor in, like, real life? Like, no, I don't think so. Sorry. That's where I'm like, yeah, but whatever. That's not the point of this. Point is that his dad is the worst.
Yeah, but besides that, I did like the buildup. Even starting from season 13, just, like, the first time we're introduced to Miles, we see how he's always fighting with his dad and how his dad is always, like, yelling at him and telling him how terrible of a kid he is. So just kind of the build up in season 13 and then things very quickly escalating here in season 14, I thought was pretty well done.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think that it absolutely was well done. And the fact that it ends with the dad not living there anymore, and you can also see the impact that it had on the family members, because we're like, we follow Frankie pretty closely, and then eventually we kind of get Hunter too. But it's a very, like, sad but realistic plot.
Yeah, because it took so long, like, it took basically that whole half of the season for anything to happen, and that took Miles literally getting slapped, Hunter getting a coffee mug thrown at him, and, like, Frankie getting blamed for child porn for anything to be done about it. Like, Miles's mom is terrible. She didn't listen to him at all with anything.
Well, that's the thing too, though. Obviously, she should have done something, but she's also a victim of this abuse. Like, her husband's cheating on her, you know? Like, he's abusing her children. Like, she ends up doing something about it. But I feel like she probably has just been, like, brainwashed to a point where she's like, this is what we have to do. Like, this is just how it's gonna go. Like, I want to look good. Like, you know, she knew her husband was cheating on her. Like, that's not an okay woman, you know? Like, you don't stay with someone like that.
But then at the same time, knowing that your husband is trash, why wouldn't you believe that he would do something like hit your kids?
No, I mean, I absolutely agree. Like, I'm not trying to, like, victim blame or anything, you know? Like, in that sense, when she was like, what did you do? Like, it made sense in that moment because him and his dad are always at each other. So it's like, okay, like, did you do something first? Like, what even happened? And obviously it's like, he's still a child, but I think she's probably just so over them fighting at that point that she's like, I don't even want to get involved in this.
That's just so terrible.
It is terrible. It is. But I think there comes a point where it's like, she also is a victim in this.
Yes. I guess I never really thought about that because Miles's mom is just so bad.
No, I totally agree. Like, she is really not, she's obviously, like, not good either, you know? And allowing the abuse isn't good, but she does eventually do something about it.
Yes. But it took literally all three kids hating their dad for anything to happen, which it should not get to that point.
True, but sometimes nothing does happen.
Yeah.
So that's where it's like, I don't know. I would be interested to see what other people think about, like, is there a victim aspect for her as well? Like, do people look at her and think of it, you know, is she brainwashed to this point? Like, she's been with this man forever and, like, he obviously doesn't love her, you know?
Yeah, because I think, what was it? There was one of the Frankie episodes where, like, Frankie is trying to get her mom to, like, go shopping where, like, her dad might be or something.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Like, her mom was, like, following him online and, like, she's not living the life she wants to live because she's, like, afraid of him.
Yeah.
Exactly. So it's, like, there's that piece of it, too.
Yeah. So I guess that makes sense. But I'm still going to be a little mad at her.
No, I think that is absolutely, like, fair. I think that a lot of people who are in, like, abusive families, like, there's going to be that grudge that you're going to hold for the parent that, like, didn't do anything.
Yeah. The most interesting thing about, like, this whole abusive dad thing to me is, there were multiple times throughout the season where someone says, Miles, you're, like, just like your dad, or, like, Miles, you're manipulative, or something like that. And Miles kind of, like, starts having a panic attack during each of those instances.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of the most interesting piece to me, just because, like, Miles, we know he basically hates anything and everything related to his dad. So the fact that, like, he has such a visceral response to being compared to him, I don't know, I just wanted to talk about that.
Yeah, no, I think that that's pretty fair. I think it's kind of interesting because he is manipulative. I think about him and Maya's relationship a lot because I think that's kind of like, you see it unravel more than like him and Tristan's, like, because he's already pretty much gone by the time him and Tristan like start dating. But with Maya, he, you know, he gives gifts, which is exactly what his dad does. You know, he gets the car from his dad, he gives Maya jewelry. He learned things from his dad that he's going to end up doing because that's just like how life goes, you know, like nature, nurture, whatever. But it's hard because like he does have some features that are just like his dad's. Like I will say, you know, he's not like a kind person to the people he's dating. Remember that intervention thing? Smoking weed doesn't make you mean like that. Mm-hmm. Like he was waiting to say those things. When do you smoke weed? You're not like that. That's like a drunk conversation is like being mean, you know, like that was just like awful to watch.
Yeah.
So it's not helping his case when people are like, you're literally just like your dad, because like, what was that scene?
Yeah. To me, it's like the idea. I think it's like a study or something that like, if somebody is abused as a child, they're much more likely to become an abuser themselves.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So whatever you want to call what that is. I think that's kind of what they were going for with that. And the fact that Miles was like so against being compared to his dad is because he views his dad as, I guess, an abuser.
Which he is, yeah.
Well, yeah, he is. But even, I guess, before it got physical. Because Miles hates everything about his dad, so he doesn't want to have anything about his dad about him. But like you said, there are various aspects of him that are like his dad. But at the same time, I do think that Miles is better than his dad in a lot of ways. Like, yes, Miles can occasionally kind of use people, like with Tristan and making his dad mad, but I don't think he ever really purposefully uses people, if that makes sense.
Tristan?
He never purposefully used Tristan, I guess is my point.
I don't know. It seemed a little purposeful when he would like talk to his dad about it. It just seems like he was too defensive for it not to be. I feel like they were like literally hanging out on the couch and his dad like came in and he'd be like, why do you hate me? And then like would leave. And he'd be like, you hate me because I'm gay or like whatever. It's just like, what is even like, no one even said anything. Like no one said anything. Like you are jumping to conclusions. I don't know. It just didn't feel like legit. I really don't think the relationship was real. I think he was using Tristan. Maybe not in the sense of like getting back his dad, but like he was using him to like bring him some happiness.
Well, isn't why you get into a relationship with somebody in the first place?
No, I don't think he genuinely liked Tristan. I think he was just using the fact that Tristan liked him.
I think he genuinely liked Tristan.
Give me like two examples of him showing that he actually liked Tristan.
In the thunderstorm episode.
Okay, this season.
Okay.
Why would I ever be like last season?
I mean, that was the last episode of the last season, so it wasn't that long ago.
But I don't even think he liked Tristan then. I think he just knew Tristan liked him, so he took advantage of the situation.
Guess I just think better of Miles as a person than you do.
It's not even like that I think he's a bad person. I just think that he is in a really tough situation at home and like mentally not well right now.
Oh yeah, Miles should definitely not be in any relationships at all.
Yeah. So I think like in this case, I think Tristan is just like a victim of this or a casualty in this situation. I think if Tristan didn't like Miles, Miles never would have pursued Tristan. The end.
I guess so. But I guess back to the whole dad thing. I don't think Miles is as bad as his dad, with like his dad really just using every one of his children for his own political gain, for one thing, and then just manipulating his kids in general. Like, yes, Miles can be manipulative. He can lash out like at the intervention, but I do think Miles grows past what he would become otherwise.
Yes.
Miles is definitely on the path to becoming his dad, but I think he kind of breaks that cycle of violence, I guess, if you want to call it that.
Yeah, he does this by like being aware that he doesn't want to be that. I think that's how you avoid doing that.
Right. Like there's the scene where Miles is like getting ready to punch his dad and his dad is like, do it. Like, you won't do it. Just do it. And yeah. Miles is like, I'm not going to be like you. I'm not going to hurt somebody.
Yeah.
So I guess that was the conclusion I wanted to get to. Miles, even though he has similarities to his dad, he's not as bad as his dad to begin with.
Of course, yeah.
And he's able to kind of break free of becoming like his dad at the end of it all.
Yes, I totally agree with all of that. I just think Tristan's like a casualty in this.
For sure. I guess just briefly, Miles's relationship with Frankie and Hunter. Like, I really love the scene at the end of the fire where they all like tell their dad to fuck off. I really like that scene.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just like a really nice to see them like supporting each other, like when their mom really wasn't supporting them.
Yeah, and I think that their relationships are all like very interesting with each other. Like, it is very sibling-esque, and I like that Miles is starting to notice that with Hunter, like things are also crumbling, you know, like he's paying attention to like what's going on. And even though he teases Frankie, you know, he's like there for her and he understands, like, he's like, they're younger and like I have to make choices that they might not like that are good for them, kind of thing.
Right. I really liked the episode where he does like talk things out with Hunter, because I think that emphasizes how Miles isn't like his dad. Because what was the scene? Hunter says, like, you make fun of me all the time, blah, blah, blah. And that makes Miles realize that he's treating Hunter the same way that his dad treats him. So that's when Miles, like, again, kind of breaks free of that cycle. And, like, he gives Hunter a hug, and it's, like, very cute.
It is pretty cute. I like it.
Okay. Related to this whole family stuff is Miles's addiction to weed.
Ugh, I literally don't understand why they did this. Like, I understand, like, people smoke weed, you know, and they're, like, depressed or, like, going through something. Sure, whatever. None of it is how you act. Like, I just, like, don't understand. You're not mean. Like, you're not, like, you're not trying to start shit with people. Like, I just don't get it.
Well, I think he was only mean at the intervention, and I don't think he was actively high in that scene. Was he?
Well, that's the thing. They're trying to, like, imply that, like, drugs are the reason he's acting like this, though. That's the thing. Okay, was it the drugs, or was it the fact that he was being abused? Like, that's what was confusing to me.
Right. To me, it felt like they were kind of flip-flopping between whether they were condemning Miles' drug use or if they were saying Miles is doing drugs because his family sucks.
Well, I knew that he was doing drugs because his family sucks, but then afterwards, it was like they were very much implying because he's smoking weed, he's skipping school, and because he's smoking weed, he's, like, not having any motivation. Like, remember when Tristan, like, went and yelled at him at the pool? He's like, you're smoking weed, and, like, that's why you're like this. And it's, like, maybe, like, a little bit, but, like, probably not.
Right. I feel like part of that was because it was from Tristan's point of view in that episode.
Yeah.
So, like, Tristan, like we talked about, basically had no idea about Miles and his dad. So he just immediately started blaming the weed.
Mm-hmm.
So I could kind of see why they framed it like that, since it was from Tristan's perspective. But then they don't really, like, make the full connection, I don't think, that it's all connected to his dad. Like, there's hints, but they don't really make it super explicit. Like, when Tristan is doing the sushi date, he apologizes and is like, yeah, I realized the intervention was kind of silly. But in the intervention episode, they were taking it very seriously. I felt like the way the intervention was framed was, this is what you should do if your friend is going through this. But it was not, because you can't be addicted to weed.
Yes, that's pretty much the whole point, is that, like, you can make stupid decisions while smoking weed, like driving, you know, like, that's dumb. But he's not smoking in that moment because he has an addiction.
Right.
Which they don't really clear up.
Right. So it felt like they were kind of doing both sides, at, like, I guess in the sense of what Degrassi tends to do, and we've talked about before with, like, saying weed is, like, this terrible, horrible thing that nobody should ever do. So it was unclear whether they were kind of going that route or if they were kind of going the Jake route, where, like, it's okay that he's doing weed, but he's doing the weed for a deeper reason than just because it's weed.
Which is what they should have really done. I think that would have been a really good thing to, like, clear up, but they, like, kind of drop it, really, right? Like, yeah. He kind of just stops doing it after, what, his dad moves out?
Yeah, so I feel like the link is there, but I think they maybe should have made it a bit clearer. Because Miles's whole drug thing escalates in next class. So, like, this is kind of, like, the start of him kind of using drugs to cope with his problems. So I think it just would have been a bit nice to make that more explicit.
I agree. I think that would have cleared things up, but I think they just had too many plots going for him at one time, because now we can lead into, like, who did he even like after him and Tristan broke up? Did he like Maya? Did he like Zoe? Did he, like, what even was going on?
Right, like, the whole sushi date ends with Tristan realizing that Miles likes Maya again.
Did I miss something? Because, like, when did he say that he liked Maya again?
He never said it, but I think Tristan saw Miles gazing lovingly at Maya in the hallway.
Okay, that's what I thought it was, because I was like, what is even, like, is he jumping to conclusions? I was like, what is going on? But, like, we never hear Miles say that he's back into being into Maya, right?
Well, but isn't it when Tristan, like, yells at him for being manipulative? doesn't he say that, like, I know you're into Maya again? And he doesn't deny it.
Okay, so, but there's no, like, clear, like, because he doesn't try to pursue Maya again.
No, but that's kind of the weird thing to me, that, like, they spent a bit of time kind of establishing that Miles does like Maya again, but then don't do anything with that, because then he's kind of into Zoe in the second half.
Well, I think it just proves that Tristan was a rebound, if anything, which he was, like, we kind of knew that, because Miles kissed him, like, right after, like, after he got dumped by Maya, who he really liked.
Yeah, so it was just kind of weird. I don't know if you noticed, but season 14 kind of has the first half and the second half.
Yeah.
And in the first half, they kind of build up Miles and Maya, or at least Miles liking Maya. And they also build up Zoe and Zig. But then in the second half, they completely drop both of those things.
I don't think they drop the Miles and Zoe thing, though.
Well, Miles and Zoe wasn't a thing in the first half.
Oh, sorry. You meant, okay, yep. I see what you're saying.
They drop Miles and Maya, and they drop Zig and Zoe.
Yes. I was like, wait, because Miles definitely liked Zoe at the end, but, like, it didn't make any sense.
Right. So that's where I'm like, did something happen between the first half and the second half of the season that they just, like, changed their mind?
Yeah, I was, like, okay with it, though. I was done with Miles and Maya, and I was rooting for Zig and Maya, so.
I guess it's a bit more of a problem for me with Zig and Zoe, because a ton of time was dedicated to Zig and Zoe, just for nothing to happen.
Well, don't they end because, like, Zig finds out she does Degrassi nudes?
There was the whole cheerleading plot.
But then afterwards is when Zoe goes to the police and says, I did Degrassi nudes. Like, I think that's why Zig was like, I'm out of this. Because I don't think, he didn't know that she had run the entire fucking thing at the time when he agreed to go on a date with her. And then, like, that same day, she, like, comes out to the police. Like, I think that's why he was like, no. Which is a fair reason, because I would also be like, you ran a, like, child porn ring? Like, yeah. I'm gonna go on a date with you.
I mean, I guess that makes sense, but they didn't really say that.
No, that's kind of just what I assumed, though, because, like, why would anybody want to hang out with Zoe? Because, you know what, the reason I thought that was because, remember when Zig and Maya were on the, like, lunch line, mm-hmm. and they were making fun of Zoe? That's when I was like, that's it. That's why.
I still feel like they should have had, like, Zig say something, maybe. Be like, oh, I'm not fucking with her.
Yeah, but I kind of picked up on the lunch line that was why.
Yeah, fair enough. I don't know. It just felt like a weird jump to me.
Yeah.
But anyway, I think the last thing for Miles and Tristan is just maybe talking a bit about Tristan himself with this whole thing.
I don't really want to.
We should.
I feel like we kind of did, though. Like, Tristan sucked at being a boyfriend. Like, he didn't care. He didn't put any effort into making friends with Miles's friends. Like, he didn't care that Miles was going through stuff. He just cared about himself. And that was kind of it.
Yeah, I guess I just wanted to talk about Tristan and Maya.
Oh, well, that's different.
Yeah. So... in the sense of, for me, it's just wild how insecure Tristan is about Maya and Miles. Like, the fact that he is slut shaming Maya at every turn that he can, when Maya has literally done nothing.
Well, he's insecure because Miles had just gotten out of this insanely serious relationship with Maya. Like, Tristan had stepped aside from Maya to date Miles. And then how did it end? Maya dumped Miles because Miles was crazy. And, like, Tristan knew that. And Tristan knew how much Miles actually liked Maya. Like, and now Maya's around. If I was in high school and that was happening, I would absolutely be insecure. But it's okay. Like, I think he treats Maya like crap for, like, no reason. But he's insecure because Maya's his ex, is his boyfriend's ex.
Yeah, I just hated how he was just calling Maya like a slut and like a hussy. I was like, get over it.
Well, Tristan's just not nice either.
No.
Like, of course he acts like that, whatever.
Yeah, and then when Maya and Tristan make up, I just hated that so much.
Really? I kind of liked it.
Why?
Because I like friends becoming friends again.
But Tristan doesn't deserve Maya as a friend.
No, but Maya has no friends.
What are you talking about? She has Zig and Grace.
And?
Those are two great friends.
Yes, they're two great friends, but I can see where she's coming from. She doesn't like people hating her. She doesn't want people, like, being mad at her, you know? Because, like, obviously it's a Cam thing.
Yes.
So it makes sense. It's just, like, something off of Maya's shoulder. Plus, we can finally see her talking to somebody about Zig. Like, we see her talk to Grace about it, but it's kind of nice to, like, get it from a different perspective of, like, she's gossiping with a friend, you know?
And Grace isn't her friend to gossip with.
Grace is her friend. You know what I'm saying. She's an outside source.
Sure. But I guess when they meet up, Tristan was just shitting on Maya for nothing that she did wrong. Like, Tristan was blaming Maya for Miles liking Maya again. When, like, that's not Maya's fault. Why are you blaming Maya for Miles' feelings towards her? And then he fucking continues to blame Maya for turning in Mr. Yates. Like, he's still saying that Maya shouldn't have done that. It's at this point where, I know last season I said it's okay because he was being manipulated by Mr. Yates, but it's at this point that he's removed from the situation and he knows that Yates was a creep because of what Winston said. But the fact that he is still saying that Maya shouldn't have said anything just shows that he hasn't learned anything.
Yes. The thing about this whole friendship makeup thing is that Maya, she doesn't apologize for these things. You know, she just kind of, she's like, let it out. Let me hear your point of view. Like, that's it. Like, of course, he's irrationally mad about stupid shit. Like, that's just like how it goes when you're like in a fight with a friend. Like, especially him, he's stubborn. So the fact that like he got it all out and then Maya was like, all right, it's done. Let's move on. Like, that was, I feel like, the best way to go about it, because he never would have done it on his own, you know? Like, that was just how he was going to get over this. It was telling her to her face what the issues were, and he did, and now it's done. And now we're moving on.
But all of his issues with her are unfounded.
Yes, but when you have a friend that you've been friends with for that long, like, I know they were kind of friends, what, before high school, right? Is the assumption?
No, they met first day of high school.
Okay, so at this point, to her, it seems like the friendship was worth making up. And it did. And that's it.
Maya deserves better.
Maya does deserve better. But she also, like, this is what she wanted.
Sure.
So that's it. That's all I got to say about it.
Okay, just one final thing about Tristan is that as terrible as he was in season 13, I think that it could have been a good starting point for him to grow and develop as a person and as a character. But he doesn't.
Okay. So, why? You had to throw that in.
Well, just from the sense of Tristan as a character himself. Like, he doesn't grow at all during all of his years on the show.
No, that's just, like, who he is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think that's kind of wasted potential for him as a character to be so static.
Well, I think he grows once he gets hit by that, like, or flips in that bus and almost dies and he dumps Miles. Like, that was a pretty big step.
I haven't watched that in a while, but I remember disliking him for doing that.
No, it was good that he let Miles go, because Miles was never going to go if he didn't let him.
We'll get there eventually.
Okay, well, and as of right now, he has no growth. How's that?
Absolutely. He's okay. Also biphobic, but that's a whole other thing.
I think everybody in this season was, to be fair.
Probably, yeah. But especially Tristan.
Yes.
Okay, let's go into Maya. And I guess a little bit of Zig. So what I was thinking for Maya and Zig is to first talk about Maya and all of her anxiety stuff, and then go into Zig and all his gang stuff. So on the Maya end of things, in the first half of the season, after the whole, like, Tristan and Miles are dating and Maya is worried about him, Maya starts having anxiety dreams about Miles jumping off of, like, the school staircase ledge, just like Cam did. Maya, like, has one of these dreams in class, so her teacher calls her mom. And when Maya's mom talks to her about this, Maya tells her that she's so worried about Miles. So Maya's mom calls Miles's mom. And this pisses Miles off and just makes Maya think that she's making everything worse. And so she continues to have these nightmares. So to kind of get her mind off of it, she decides to help Zoe with like the cheerleading thing. I think she was going to like mix a song or something. She can't focus though. And she ends up hacking into Miles's face range profile to look at his messages to see if there's like anything that she could figure out about what's going on with him. And I think she finds a message that he sent to Tristan that like he wants to kill himself. So Maya ends up breaking into Miles's house just to find him sick at home for the day. Maya kind of has like a panic attack. She's like, Miles, tell me what's wrong. I know that there's something wrong. And she continues to like kind of spiral when Miles blocks her on all of his accounts and such. And it's at this point that she realizes that she finally needs to get help when the nightmares are continuing. And Zig is actually a really great friend to her throughout this whole nightmare saga. Like since they live together, Zig hears Maya having the nightmares and like he goes into her room and like talks her through what's going on. Maya, as a result of like realizing she needs help, she ends up going to therapy. And so she's in therapy for a little bit. And that's when she runs into Miles again, where like we talked about, Miles accidentally hits Maya with his car. That whole stuff happens. Maya wants to tell the truth about the hit and run that happens, especially after finding out they hit Dallas and they almost hit Dallas's kid. But when Miles's dad kind of sees like the dented bumper or whatever it was, Maya comes up with a lie that like they were hit in the parking lot. So they end up lying to the police. But of course, Miles ends up being high at school and Miles ends up telling Dallas that it was him who hit the car. So they end up needing to tell the police the truth. And Maya's mom kind of helps Maya realize that even if Miles is in trouble and is going through a hard time, she can't help him unless he wants to be helped. So she kind of continues to go to therapy and get some help that way. And at the end of the first half of the season, she ends up comforting Miles when he wants to run away and kind of validates the abuse that he has been experiencing. And at the end of it all, Maya is glad that she doesn't need to worry about Miles anymore when his dad things are resolved. On Zig's end in the first half of the season, it's basically just Zig and Zoe things, which I guess we already kind of talked about, but just for completeness, Zig and Zoe are kind of in a flirtationship at the beginning of the season, but Zoe feels insecure when she finds out girls are sending Zig nudes over Oomph Chat. So at first he thinks that it's not a problem that like random freshmen are sending him nudes until Grace reminds Zig that Zoe's assault video was sent around the school. When Zoe ends up sending Zig a nude of herself, Zig tells her that she shouldn't feel obligated to do that because of everything that's happened to her. And that kind of pisses Zoe off. Zig tries to apologize with like the whole shirtless thing, saying like, I'm sorry or whatever it was. Or no, it was, he wrote, I like you on his chest. I was like, please stop objectifying this boy. But yeah, Zig tries to apologize and he's rejected. There is a fun little plot where Zig feels emasculated when Grace beats him at arm wrestling and Tiny posts the video of him losing online. So to prove himself, Grace dares him to get an at-home tattoo from Grace. But in classic Degrassi fashion, Zig stops at the last second because getting an at-home tattoo or getting beaten by a girl at arm wrestling does not prove how much of a man you are. Finally, they have the cheerleading competition at Degrassi, and Tiny, Grace, and Zig make a bet as to who could get Gloria Chin's, the hot cheerleader, who could get her number first. Zig ends up wooing her over by like getting her to spill her lunch on him, and so he takes his shirt off again in front of everyone. But when Gloria starts saying that like Zoe is such a hoe and like I can't believe that like the cheerleaders are selling nudes and stuff, Zig ends up defending Zoe. And when Grace ends up getting Gloria's number, Zig and Tiny dress up as cheerleaders, and he ends up telling Zoe that he doesn't judge her for anything and that he believes that she is a good person.
And then 10 minutes later finds out that she did Degrassi.
Yeah. So I guess we kind of already talked about Zig and Zoe. I don't think I had anything much else to say about that.
No, I think they just had to continue it from last season, and that was that.
But I honestly loved the little arm wrestling tattoo plot.
That was such a genuine plot. I was like, thank God we needed one of these in here.
Right? It's like, we need more just stupid friendship plots that don't really mean anything.
Yes, I love a good C plot. Like, that was perfect.
Like, it brought me back to the episode where Ashley was trying to get a piercing to impress Ellie.
Yes.
So it for me was like a combination of that based off of the whole tattoo thing and the episode where there's a slumber party at Craig's house and they steal the car.
Yes, it's just like little friend things that like we love to see.
So very cute. Honestly, I love that friend group, the whole Rubber Room group. So
Me
fun.
too. I really do.
But Maya.
Let's do it.
Yes. Okay. So I think I mentioned this in season 13, but people were complaining throughout all of season 13 that Maya was never talking about Cam and that like Cam's death effect on her was not mentioned. And we talked about during season 13 about how that's not really true, like how Maya's whole relationship with Miles was kind of a follow-up to Cam. But in season 14, you cannot deny that Cam had a massive effect on Maya.
It was done very well.
Yes.
It was sad when they had her having the dream of Miles standing up on the balcony. I was like, oh my God, this was so smart. Like, it was so smart because that was like, did she even see Cam actually do that?
No, I wanted to talk about that because Maya wasn't there when Cam jumped. And she always kind of suspected that he did jump, but she didn't know for sure.
Okay, that's what I was figuring. But we know that he did,
Yes.
obviously.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So, as audience members, we know that Cam hurt himself by jumping off the balcony, but Maya doesn't know that. But she always kind of thought that that was what happened. And so, what I was thinking is that Maya herself is overthinking about every single interaction she ever had with Cam. After he died, just kind of thinking about, oh, what did this interaction mean when he was alive? You know?
Which makes sense because you definitely would do that.
Yeah. So, like, I feel like Maya is kind of blaming herself for all of like the red flags that she missed, like when she kind of had it in the back of her head that maybe Cam did jump off the balcony. So, I think the dream really illustrates that without telling us that explicitly.
Oh, yeah. You wouldn't know if you hadn't seen the season that Cam was in, obviously.
Yeah.
Because they don't say it.
Right. But if you know what happened with Cam, then you know like why Maya is being so anxious about all of this.
It also kind of adds in because, like, as you said, like, people didn't think they talked enough about it last season. And, like, I don't think there was really much of a reason for her to because nothing was, like, triggering her to do so. And in this season with Miles and his mental illness, and like that was like a giant trigger for her because her and Miles broke up. They're not in a good place. Like she knows Miles isn't in a good place. And like all that anxiety is like festering in her. And I'm like, you know, I think she's even said, she's like, I can't do this again. Right? Didn't she say that at some point?
She said that, I think, twice in season 13 with respect to Miles.
And I think she did something again with like, or when she was like talking to her mom, or she's, I don't know, there's something where she was like, I just like, I can't do this. And I like, don't blame her because that's like really tough.
Right. Like, I was thinking about why is it at this point that Maya is like having anxiety about Miles when kind of their whole relationship was very tumultuous in season 13? And what I came up with was that now that she and Miles are broken up, she doesn't really know what's going on with him because they're not talking.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, kind of like that unknown factor of knowing that something is going on with Miles, like with him kind of acting strangely, with Tristan kind of not being in class, like she knows something is going on. But she has no way of actually finding out what is going on, and she's not able to help him.
Yeah, which is why then she goes on his Facebook and looks there and like finds things that like don't make sense, and then it also makes sense why he is like, what are you doing? Because like they don't talk, so
Right.
it's weird that she's showing up to, you know, his house, and like we don't know how much he actually like knows about Cam, to be honest. Like we don't know what she's told him. So well, there's that aspect too.
Well, that's the other thing, because I don't think Miles knows anything about Cam.
Yeah, which is like crazy, because him and Maya dated, you'd think she would have like brought it up at some point, but I guess not.
And that is one piece that I think would have been nice in this season, where Maya ends up talking to Miles about Cam.
Yeah.
So I think that could have helped Miles himself to kind of put his situation in perspective. And it could have helped Maya to actually talk through her whole Cam trauma. Like when Miles drops Maya off at therapy, Maya says something to the effect of like, I'm sorry I was going so crazy with you a couple of weeks ago. It wasn't really about you. She obviously meant that it was really about Cam. But I think that, like, I guess I wish that that conversation continued where Maya actually told Miles about Cam.
I do think that they didn't do that just for the specific reason of, like, her and Zig's relationship able to build more because, like, he knows. So, like, she feels more comfortable, like, sharing it with Zig because Zig, you know, kind of lived it too. But I think that was just for the sake of, like, building their relationship on the side.
I think they could have done both.
Yeah, but I think what they were trying to do is that, like, it's, like, romantic that Zig is, like, there to help her at night. You know, like, if she told Miles in this season, like, what would be the point? They're not going to get back together, and they're not friends.
Well, I think it could have helped with Miles kind of calling Maya crazy during that whole thing. It's like,
Maya shouldn't be doing that anyway.
Well, I think if Miles knew, he would have maybe understood where Maya was coming from.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. It's kind of one of those things where it's like, if she was going to tell him, it was when they were in a relationship. And that's like kind of it.
Yeah, I agree with that. I just wish that there was some conversation at some point about it, just because it is such a big thing for Maya. So.
Yeah.
And going briefly back to what I said, what caused Maya's anxiety, what I realized while thinking about that earlier today is that when Maya starts having the anxiety dreams, it's just about the 1-year anniversary of Cam's death in universe.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Seriously?
Yeah, because Cam died like right after spring break, and between seasons 13 and 14 was spring break. So the beginning of season 14 is after spring break.
Oh, so the summer was, it was like right then. Oh, wow. Okay. Yep. That all makes sense.
Yeah. I don't know if that was intentional, but it kind of clicked for me when I was thinking about it. I was like, wow, it's like the 1-year anniversary of Cam's death when Maya starts having these anxiety dreams.
They should have said something, because that even makes more sense.
Yeah. That's why I'm like, I don't know if it was intentional, because I don't know if the Degrassi writers were keeping track of that.
Well, no, I mean, like, I think that that's a pretty easy thing to keep track of, though. That, like, makes sense.
Yeah.
I hope that that's what they were doing, because it, like, worked.
Yes, for sure. But I guess with Maya's whole anxiety thing, I do kind of like how Maya actually wasn't able to help Miles. Like, yes, Miles did need help, but I like how Maya didn't actually help him with her whole, you know, escapades of what she was doing.
Yeah.
Because we talked about last season about how Maya's kind of whole thing is that she feels the need to protect and save everybody because she couldn't do it for Cam. And we saw that with Tristan, where, like, she told about Mr. Yates. We saw it with Zig, where she helps Zig from being homeless. And she even tried with Miles while they were dating. But here, Maya can't help Miles. Like, kind of what her mom says, that you can't help Miles unless he wants to be helped. So I think that is kind of an important thing for Maya to learn with her whole dealing with her trauma of Cam.
Mm-hmm. And she gets help for herself, which I think is the most important.
Yeah, because, like, she needs to realize that she's not going to be able to help everybody, no matter how hard she tries. And that's what made her realize that she needed help to kind of get through that.
Yes, absolutely.
I also liked how, like, they kind of showed Maya going explicitly to therapy. Like, for one thing, Maya should have been in therapy a year ago, number one.
Yeah.
But I guess the few times that Degrassi does have characters go to therapy, like with Paige or with Ellie,
mm-hmm.
and who else went to therapy?
Does Ashley go to therapy?
I don't think so.
She should have.
Oh, Emma goes to therapy for her eating disorder.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But I feel like with a lot of those characters, they just kind of say that they're going to therapy.
Well, we watch Paige's therapy.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
And we kind of watch Ellie's too. We don't see Emma's at all.
No. I don't know. I guess my point was that I kind of wish that we had seen the therapy scenes.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. Like, why couldn't we watch that, like, while Miles was smoking weed in the car?
Yeah. Like, I feel like what Degrassi kind of tends to do is they kind of traumatize a character, and then they just kind of either send them to therapy for a bit, or, like, just give them time to get over it. And then, like, we just see them after the fact that they're better.
I will say, though, I think that in her defense of, like, not going to therapy any earlier, when you're, like, a child, that is not your first thought. You know, like, you're well, not, her like, mom. Yeah, like, it's up to her mom. But I also think that when you're in a situation like that where that's never happened before, I don't know if therapy would, like, cross your mind right away. Like, I know you'd like to think so, but it's, like, I don't know. I don't think it would have crossed my mind unless somebody had explicitly told me this was a traumatic event, you should go to therapy for it.
Well, but not even Maya's mom thinking of it?
Yeah, because it depends, because it's like, you know, I don't know. Does her mom, you know, ever go to therapy? Like, is this something that she's ever thought of? Like, sometimes moms have traumatic events happen to them and they never went to therapy and they're fine. That's the only sense that I can think of is, like, the fact that nobody flat out told, like, that's the same with, like, Ellie told Paige, right, to go to therapy? Because she wouldn't have done it on her own. And she didn't think of doing it on her own. And her parents knew she was assaulted because they do the whole court case.
Well, that was Hazel telling Paige to go to therapy. And then Paige told Ellie to go to therapy.
Okay, so yeah, so people have to tell one another in order to do it. You know, sure. It doesn't seem like the parents are doing it.
Yeah, I guess I just wish Maya had gone to therapy earlier, because that would have really helped her. But at the same time, again, I just like how they showed Maya actually going to therapy.
Yes, I think she went when she, like, needed to go. That's my opinion.
Okay, so let's close off with all of the gang nonsense.
Okay.
Okay, so at the beginning of the second half of the season, Damon, who is Zig's old poor friend from season 12, he ends up stabbing Tiny. That's a whole thing in Zoe's plot, but, like, basically Damon stabs Tiny at the end of a random episode. So Zig feels guilty that Tiny got stabbed, since Damon used to be his friend, and Zig gets to live safely at Maya's house while Tiny does not have a safe place to stay. There are talks at school of a retaliation from Zig's gang on Damon's gang. Zig ends up warning Damon about it, and he kind of helps stop any immediate violence as a result of this. While this is happening, Zig ends up auditioning for the musical, and he gets, like, the lead role of the villain.
Bad guy.
Yeah. Say hello to the bad guy. But while Zig and Maya and Maya's mom are celebrating at dinner, Maya's house gets broken into by Damon's gang. Maya's mom doesn't know that it was a break-in from the gang, but Zig knows because they left, like, a handkerchief, like, as, yeah, like, a symbol that it was their gang. And so after...
It was a bandana, hold on, handkerchief.
Oh. What's the difference?
Big difference. You don't wipe your nose with a bandana.
Whatever.
Okay, keep going.
So after the house break-in, Maya's mom gets her a gift card to get a spa day with a friend. However, Maya realizes that she doesn't have any girlfriends other than really Grace. And when she asks Grace, she's like, Grace, you're the last person I would ever ask, but would you go with me? And Grace is like, oh, no. So Maya ends up going to get her nails did all by herself. But Zig shows up to keep her company. And Zig ends up expressing regret for his involvement in the break-in. And they also kind of talk about Maya's friendship with Grace. So the next day, Maya ends up apologizing to Grace about kind of like being backhanded about inviting her, and they kind of solidify their friendship. And at the same time, Maya realizes that she is in love with Zig because he's always there for her.
Well, yeah, he freaking showed up to get his nails done. Like, are you kidding me? I was like, I'm in love with him now.
Yes. So the next episode is the whole Maya and Tristan get paired up thing. And with that, Zig gives her some advice about how to talk to Tristan. And so while celebrating Maya and Tristan making up as friends, Maya kisses him.
Well, no, don't they kiss after they salsa dance? No, wait, no, that was later. You're right.
Yeah, so it's like they're celebrating that, like, yay, things worked out with Tristan. And then Maya kisses him.
So cute.
But of course, Maya's mom walks in right then. Well,
no,
not at first, not at first. Yeah, the second time. I think they are like both getting like a 3 a.m. snacky from the fridge or something. And they're like, you know, we should talk about that kiss. And they end up kissing again. And that is when Maya's mom walks in on them, being like, why are you making out in my kitchen at 3 a.m.? So Mama Matlin says that it cannot happen again. And both Zig and Maya kind of try and respect that and ignore their feelings for each other. But they ultimately realize that they can't ignore their feelings and that they are in love with each other and that they should tell Mama Matlin so that they're not lying to her after all the help that she's given Zig with giving him a place to stay. But when Maya tells her mom that they're going to be together, she says that Zig needs to move out because they can't be in a relationship and live together. So Maya is super stressed about this, but Zig says that he'll be okay and he'll find a place to stay, and it'll be actually a good thing for them that they won't need to sneak around. Zig ends up moving to Tiny's place where Vince lives, good old Vince, who terrorized Drew back in the day. And Tiny and Vince are kind of pressuring Zig into staying up late playing video games and not doing his homework and not practicing for the musical. So he ends up kind of standing up to them a little bit, saying that, like, yo, I gotta like get some sleep and gotta practice. And they actually end up being kind of nice about it. They actually help him practice and sing for the musical. But a guy from their gang shows up with some molly to the house, which kind of freaks Zig out and makes him worried about inviting Maya to their place because Zig is worried that like gang things will get in the way of them spending time together and also just Maya's safety in general. Zig asks Vince to kind of stay away for a night so that Zig could cook Maya dinner, but Vince ends up showing up with a whole party of people and he ends up offering Maya and Zig, what was it?
It was Molly.
Yeah. Okay. So they end up taking the drugs and they're actually having kind of a good time with it, but they end up talking about sex while high and they end up having sex while high. So the next day, they're both feeling really weird about it since it was both of their first times. And Zig blames himself for what happened and says that, like, oh, I'm the reason why you took the molly and like you should stay away from me because I'm bad news. But Maya is kind of offended by this, saying that, like, I can make my own decisions. Like, I just kind of want to talk to you about this because it was weird. Zig ultimately apologizes about the whole thing and they agree that they weren't ready to have sex, but they're glad that it was with each other. Zig is doing this on a phone call while in a car with Vince and Tiny, who end up shooting Damon in his apartment, and they force Zig to drive the getaway car. So the next day, Zig finds out that it was Vince who shot Damon, and Vince kind of forces Zig to stay quiet when the police question him at school. There are, again, rumors of retaliation about the whole thing with all of the gang stuff going on. And to kind of prove his loyalty to him, Vince makes Zig collect money from Jonah to prove that Zig is on their side and won't snitch about the whole shooting thing. But when threats start to be made against Maya, Zig is worried that something is going to happen, especially when he gets a message from Damon in the hospital to stop the cycle of violence. So Zig ends up reporting Vince to the police, and Vince ends up getting arrested at the musical. Tiny realizes that this happened, and he threatens Zig with a knife, but Zig talks him down, and it kind of gets resolved where Zig and Tiny end up staying at their social worker's place for a little bit while they figure out where they're going to live, and Zig ends up making up with Damon.
Oh, nice.
Okay, let's finish things off.
All right. we did Zig and Zoe just as a continuation of last season, really, is my opinion on it.
Yeah. But Zig and Maya, I love them so much.
I couldn't even believe it. Like, that was so good. Like, I absolutely was like, Zig was waiting. Zig waited all this time for her. And like, yeah, he saw Zoe and stuff, but like barely, you know, it was just so good.
Well, I think the thing with Zig is he kind of got over Maya after like that whole debacle last season. And so like, he wasn't interacting with Maya, like having a crush on her. Like he wasn't treating her as like somebody who he has a crush on. He was just treating her as Maya, his best friend.
Yeah, and that was why it was so cute.
So it's not like Zig was actively crushing on Maya like when they kissed. It was just kind of like the feelings were always there in the background. And so when Maya finally realized that she liked him too, it just worked out.
I was like really into it. I really liked it a lot. Obviously, it was super high school and they were both like, we're in love. I'm like, yeah, all right, fine. A little bit of a stretch, but I'll take it. But like, we did know that they were, that Zig was going to have to move out. Like, that was the deal with the mom. And like, I got it. But I also, part of me was like, he's still a child. Like, why are we treating him like he's going to be okay when he's like not, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, I think Maya's mom could have figured something out that was not just like send him out into the world.
Yeah, I completely agree with that.
That was just, I didn't like that at all. But that was like pretty much my only complaint about that. But I guess it kind of led more into the gang stuff again.
Yeah, it was kind of contrived to me because as we know, Vince has literally been to jail. So I feel like why would Zig's social worker let Zig move into a house with a convicted felon?
Part of me wonders though if like Canada is different with the rehabilitation like point of view. In the United States, we do not have it. We're like, screw anyone who goes to jail, even for like the littlest things, right? Like, I don't know if it's any different that they're like, well, Vince is out. I also don't know, did he tell his social worker this?
Yeah.
He told him he was going to stay with Vince?
Yeah, because I think his mom was initially going to be an option.
Yes.
But his social worker said, like, your mom still doesn't want you because of whatever reason.
It was because of Tiny getting stabbed and Zig being there, yeah.
Right. So I was kind of mad about that because they were setting up Zig and his mom last season and they just didn't do anything with that and they don't do anything with it ever again. But yeah, to me, it was just a little contrived that, like, Zig moved in with Vince and Tiny just for the sake to have the gang storyline, which I guess is fine, but I just kind of had to suspend my disbelief with that a little bit.
I don't know if they were trying to go for the whole, like, it's difficult to escape crime when that's, like, your only...
That's where you live.
Yes, that's, like, pretty much, that's what I'm trying to say, because I, like, can't think of how to word it. Because the old issue that I think a lot of people have, too, is when they get out of prison, like, where do they go? They go back to where they grew up and, like, where the problem started. And, like, I think that's a good example of it. Is like the cycle of poverty.
Right.
And like Zig is unfortunately part of it. And he knows, you know, he like helps them like pack the molly because he's like, well, like it's true. They are letting me stay here. Like, what else am I supposed to do? Like, I think that was kind of unfortunately like a realistic thing.
Yeah.
The stabbing of like the students and stuff. I was like, I feel like the school would be more serious about gang violence if that was like actually happening though.
Yeah. And the fact that Vince shot Damon, I was like, what is going on? Why does this grown man have such a grudge against this teenager?
Yeah, I mean, like, well, because he stabbed his brother.
Well, yeah, but
that's why. Like, it's a matter of the fact that like this kid stabbed his own brother, so of course he's gonna go defend his brother.
Well, I guess it's also kind of in character for Vince because he had such a grudge against Drew and Bianca as well.
Yeah, Vince is obviously not okay.
Yeah. But yeah, I just thought it was a little like silly to make the plot work, you know?
I honestly didn't mind this gang stuff. Like, obviously it's not super relatable to like us specifically, right? But I do think that they did like a kind of okay job, especially connecting like Damon back to like freaking Becky. I was like, what is even happening? Like, this is so crazy. But I didn't mind it. I really was like, okay, this is like an interesting situation. It all has to do with poverty. And like, it's not also like a race thing either. Like, it's just strictly poverty.
Yeah, I definitely liked it better than the whole Drew Gang thing, which I think I mentioned last season. And do you remember the problem I had with it last season?
That it was super unrealistic?
No, that it was from Maya's perspective. That was my problem with the gang storylines in season 13. I was like, they're all from Maya's perspective. Why isn't it from Zig's perspective? And you're going to hate me now, because now it is from Zig's perspective. But now I'm like, it should have been from at least a little bit from Tiny's perspective.
Well, Tiny's not a main character yet.
He should be, though.
Yes, he absolutely should be, but that's the issue, is that he's not. So, like, they're not going to introduce his point of view when the plot is about Zig.
I think that would have enhanced the storyline, though, just because it is Tiny's family that what's really being affected.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we kind of got an idea of how he was feeling at the end.
Right, but that was one scene. It kind of comes out of nowhere, where, like, Tiny suddenly has a knife, and he's like, my mom's a druggie, and Vince is all I have. It's like, we could have maybe established this beforehand, like, especially with the mom thing. Like, I'm assuming she lives at that house.
Like, maybe, or she's in, like, a rehab, or she's, like, on the street. Like, we don't know.
Well, we don't know, and it's something that we should have known before that.
Yeah, I guess. I don't really care that much about Vince and Tiny, to be honest. I care more about the Zig stuff.
Well, I like Tiny a lot, at least.
I mean, I like him. Like, he's fine. He's, like, a good character, I guess, on the side. Like, well, I like Grace better.
That's the thing with Tiny, is that Tiny is another black sidekick to a white boy.
Yes. I also don't think they knew what they wanted to do with him yet, because remember, like, we talked about how in the Netflix season, they don't even bring up the fact that this even happened.
Yeah, they vaguely allude to it a couple times. But, like, we don't even know where Zig is living, I don't think, until, like, season 3 of Netflix.
Where is he living?
I think he lives at, like, a group home. But we never see him living there.
Okay. Kind of like Casey.
Yeah. So that's kind of, like, the thing about this storyline, is that I do think it was moderately well done, but, like, the aftermath is just not there. It's like, we don't see Zig living in a group home or Tiny living in a group home. We don't see how, like, all of this stuff that has happened has affected either of them.
Do you think it was because Netflix had to take over?
I think that's part of it, but they could have still done the storylines of them, like, living in a group home, for example, without really talking about all these storylines.
Yeah, I guess. I think I'm going to blame the transition to Netflix for that one.
Sure. The other thing is, I think it would have been fun, at least, to have Drew involved in this.
No, it would not have been fun. Get out of here. We're done with that.
No, just in the sense that, like, Vince is literally at Degrassi when Drew is, you know, like, at the musical. Like, they're both in the school at the same time, and it's not a thing.
Which I'm surprised, because doesn't, like, Drew have a restraining order anyway?
I think so.
Plot hole.
Yeah. I mean, this is, I guess, more on Drew, but Drew doesn't do much in this season, and I think kind of using Vince to kind of close Drew's character arc could have been nice.
Nah, Drew's, like, a completely different character now.
Well, that could have been a good way to show that.
No, I'm done with that gang. No. Done with it. I understand why you'd want to see it, but I do not. I'm so over it. It was so bad. Jasper, come on.
Well, just in the sense of continuity, you know? It's like, why did they have to bring Vince himself back if they weren't going to connect it to his first time on the show? It could have just been anybody else.
I guess, yeah.
Yeah, that's really all you have for the gang stuff. I did want to talk a little bit more about Zig and Maya, just in the sense of, like, how their relationship with each other connects to both of their individual arcs. Because especially when Zig is moving out, I guess, Maya has, like, the whole scene where she's saying, it's my fault that, like, you're moving out. And, like, she's blaming herself for, like, liking Zig in the first place. It's like, I wish I didn't have these feelings because then you wouldn't be in trouble.
Yeah.
And I thought that was kind of telling of, again, Maya's whole state of mind after Cam, that like she feels the need to protect everybody and like she blames herself for things that really aren't her fault. She's saying I shouldn't have feelings at all. And like that's just kind of sad.
No, it's definitely sad, but I think I would feel a similar way because like it's true. Because like Zig had a crush on her and like he didn't have to leave, you know? So like I get it from her point of view, but I think he does a really good job at making her feel better about it though.
Yes, I agree. And then Zig kind of has a similar thing too, where he's saying like after they have sex, like you should stay away from me because I'm bad news. And I think part of that stems from Cam as well.
Sure, yeah.
Because from Zig's end, he was the person who kind of pushed Cam over the edge. And now it's kind of like with him being affiliated with the gang, he's kind of putting Maya in kind of a similar dangerous situation.
No, I totally agree. And like even then, yeah, they both really just kind of sit down and make each other feel like better about their situation. She's like, Zig, I'm literally my own person. Like, calm down. Like, I chose to do this. And it was in that situation, like Maya was the one to be like, I want to do this.
Yeah.
Which was interesting to me.
And like them having sex while on Molly, I really disliked it from the perspective of they just got together. They should not be having sex. They should not be having sex on drugs. But the communication that they had afterwards was honestly really great.
It was. It makes sense to me though, because like think about how much time they've spent together at this point. You know, like they've lived together. Like their relationship is not just like any other starting to date relationship. Like they're already like three steps ahead almost.
Yeah.
So like it doesn't shock me completely because I think at this point, like it's so common that people are like having sex. Like didn't somebody like make fun of someone for being a virgin? Like it was Vince making fun of Zig for being a virgin. Like,
yeah.
And we don't even know if Tiny is, but like probably, but it just kind of like, it was a little odd. But I also think it kind of made sense for the situation that they were in and like Maya going through a lot of stuff. And like, I never felt for a second that she did it to be cool either. Like, I think she genuinely wanted to try it. The Molly.
The drugs, yeah.
But yeah, their communication after was so good. You were so right.
Yeah, I just disliked how they had sex because you know how much I love like a good first time. On Degrassi.
Yeah, I was gonna say you really like feel a certain way about it where like it doesn't seem like it was a big deal to either of them.
Well, it was though.
Well, it was, but like it wasn't a big enough deal in the moment for them to be like, I don't want to do it, I guess. Because
they were really fucking high.
Yeah, but you could still be like, I don't want to do it. You know, like there was a part of them that wanted to do it, is what I'm saying.
Yes, sure.
But I like them. I'm a fan. I want them to continue. And I know at some point they break up, but I don't remember. So don't tell me.
Yes. I haven't watched Next Class in a minute. So I remember what happens, but I don't remember if I thought it made sense or not.
Like, it's gotta be a really good reason for them to break up because all I remember is like, him freaking dating Esme, and I'm like, she's freaking nuts.
But yes, Zig and Maya, like honestly, they have the best build up to a couple of like pretty much anybody in Degrassi to me. They've been building up since I'd say, I guess technically day one, because Maya did have a crush on him in the very beginning, but really since at least like end of season 12, they've been building them up to getting together. So
they're like the definition of like rock, like what right place, wrong time or whatever.
Or friends to lovers.
Yeah, like literally everything.
Yeah. And I just love how like they support each other. They have pretty good communication. And like they're 10th graders, you know? Like I would not expect that from a 10th grade relationship.
Well, they're going into their junior year now, so.
Yes. But yeah, just I really love them at this point. We'll see how things work out in the future. But
all right. Is that all we got?
I think that's all I got.
All right. Sounds good to me.
Yeah. So we will be back next time with Degrassi Nudes. and Captain Who.
Jesus.
Yeah. So thank you for listening.
And we'll see you soon.